Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to another discussion around the beautiful ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about some of the ayat from the 17th juz, which is Surah Al-Anbiya and Surah Al-Hajj, primarily. Surah Al-Anbiya, it's named after the prophets, the messengers, ala nabina wa alayhimu salatu wa salam. Is a surah Makkiyah revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca al-Mukarramah. It has ayah talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about faith, stories about the prophets and messengers before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again as a way to support the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions during the time when they were oppressed and harassed by the people of Mecca. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again reminds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not unique for you. This is basically what all the prophets and messengers had to go through before. The surah starts with a beautiful ayah talking about the approach of the Day of Judgment. The people of Quraysh used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where is that torture, where is that punishment that you're promising us if we do not believe in your Lord? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, I do not know when is it going to happen, when is the Day of Judgment, however it is very close. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the meaning of the hadith, bu'ithtu ana was-sa'a kahatayn, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined between two fingers, which means I have been sent or I've been commissioned with my message and as-sa'a, the Day of Judgment, we are that close to each other. Of course, that was more than 1400 years ago, but when we look at the age of humanity, again, that might be a very short time compared to life in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah with اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون لاهية قلوبهم وأسروا النجوى الذين ظلموا هل هذا إلا بشر مثلكم أفتأتون السحر وأنتم تبصرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to the questions and the mocking of the non-believers by saying that indeed the Day of Judgment is so close, while people who do not believe in it are so distracted from it. When people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking that question about when is the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded in different ways. In one way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would respond, the one being asked does not know more than the one who's asking the question. مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. In other instances, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would respond to that question with a question itself. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. When a person came asking him, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَتَ السَّاعَ, when is the Day of Judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, and what have you prepared for it? So, to any mortal human being like ourselves, actually, 90% of the case, our سَاعَ is the time when we die. So basically, why did I say 90%, not 100%? Because there's still a chance of accrual of good deeds after one dies. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the meaning of the hadith, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ أَوْ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ فَيَدْعُ لَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mere translation of the meaning of the hadith is that when the son or the daughter of Adam die, their deeds in this earthly life are sealed, are terminated, are completed, except for one of these three things, one or more of these three things. Sadaqatin jariyah, a running charity, a continuing charity that continues after the person has established it during his or her life, and it continues accruing good deeds for that person after he died. Aw ilmin yuntafa'u bih, good knowledge, beneficial knowledge that this person left behind, that people can benefit from. So again, that's going to add to his or her hasanat after they die. And the third one, a waladin salihin fayad'u lah, a son or daughter close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who would supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their parents. So That is something that keeps adding and accruing in the scale of good deeds of the individual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that do not wait for, or do not think that it's coming in thousands of years or hundreds of thousands of years. Actually, it might be in the next minute, it might be in the next hour, it might be in the next day, you never know. What was the response of the non-believers to these news about the approach of the Day of Judgment? وَمَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمْعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. So the guidance that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever they receive the guidance, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received new revelation, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveys it and recites it to those non-believers, they just make fun of it, and they do not pay attention to it, they do not take it seriously. وَأَسَرُّ النَّجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ. So the non-believers could not believe that there's a communication between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this communication between the Creator cannot come directly to a human being. So they kept talking to each other again, denying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling him a liar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that again, He subhanahu wa ta'ala sends whomever He subhanahu wa ta'ala wills as a messenger. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that again, to the humans, who else would be sent but a human? If it were an angel, people would not understand its nature. They would not be able to communicate with him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses human beings to carry that message and deliver it to the humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again reminds people that to him subhanahu wa ta'ala belong everything in the heavens and the earth. وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَلَا يَسْتَحْسِرُونَ يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner and the controller and the creator and the sustainer of every creation. And all of the creation owes a debt of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a debt of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, with the exception of humans or some of the humans and some of the jinn, all of them declare their servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having any arrogance, without feeling that they are too good to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be questioned about anything that he does subhanahu wa ta'ala, any will that he implements subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot be second guessed, he cannot be questioned. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And again, we find people again claiming to be believers from the family of the scripture and even from the Muslims who, when something they don't like happens to them, they start asking, oh Allah, why did you do that to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should never be asked why. Again, we accept everything and anything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If in our perception it's good, we should show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him. And if in our perception it's bad, we should endure patience and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us endure it and to relieve it from us. Why do I say in our perception? Because again, we never know in many cases what is really good for us and what is bad for us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. If you remember when we discussed Surah Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, in fact, everything that someone might think is good ends up being bad, and everything that someone might think is bad ends up being good. So if someone were to say that a child is so beloved by his parents, is that good or bad? It seems to be good, but that was the reason why Sayyidina Yusuf was hated by his brothers and they threw him in that dungeon. Being thrown in that dungeon, is it good or bad? Most people would say bad, but that's the reason why Sayyidina Yusuf was sold to the Aziz, the minister of Egypt, and he was raised in a very comfortable way in the palace of Al-Aziz of Egypt. Living in that palace, is it good or bad? People might say good. Well, that's how Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam was tested, and he was falsely accused and thrown in jail. Is jail good or bad? Well, it is bad indefinitely. But however, in some cases it might be good, because again, in this case, Sayyidina Yusuf was able to interpret the dreams of the two men, which ultimately brought him to be the treasurer of Egypt and occupy that high position. So again, in our limited perception, whatever we might think is good might end up being bad, and whatever we might think is bad, it ends up being good. It all depends on our response to it, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions in the meaning of the hadith that we mentioned several times before, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ لَخَيْرٍ إِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَلَا يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am amazed by the affairs of the believer. Everything that happens to him or her is good. If they are affected by a prosperity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they show gratitude and they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's good for them. If they are affected by a calamity, they endure patience and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, and that's also good for them. And that's only fit for a believer who can see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that happens to them. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some of the ayat about the creation of the heavens and the earth around us. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Haven't the non-believers seen that, and they have not seen it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the question to inform us about this fact. Haven't the non-believers seen that the heavens and the earth were one piece, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split it apart, so to create the heavens and the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything that's living out of water. So water is indispensable for any living creature, subhanallah al-azim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with the signs of his creation. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِهِمْ وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا فِجَاجًا سُبُلًا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And we have established these heavy mountains to anchor that earth so that it doesn't shake and collapse with them. And we have created roads or tracks or trails so that people can walk into them and can pursue their sustenance through them. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And we have made this heaven, this elevated heaven, this raised heaven, like a ceiling that is protected and protecting them, and they're not paying attention to these signs. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Every one of these is orbiting in its own orbit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for them, without going and 1 inch away from that orbit. If a star or a planet goes out of its orbit, that would be a destruction to the whole system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds everyone of the fact, since, as we mentioned at the beginning, the day of judgment for anyone is his or her own death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is an eventuality for every living creature. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. That every soul is going to have to taste death, the earthly death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us with hardship and with prosperity, and eventually we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very beautiful ayah in this surah talking about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. The mere translation is, وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes the just, accurate, fair scales for the day of judgment. ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا. So no soul is going to be discriminated against, no soul is going to be oppressed, no soul is going to face any injustice. Every soul will be treated with the absolute justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we, knowing that, we strive for not only the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if it were only for the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned before, our deeds are not going to be enough for us to be granted paradise. It's only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to interfere or intercede to allow us to go to paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And to show the extent of the accuracy and the justice of these scales, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Even if it were, if the deed, whether good or bad, were the weight of an atom's weight or a seed's, a mustard seed's weight, which is something very tiny and very fine, that if you put on a regular scale, it wouldn't register anything, but in the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would be registered. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And enough for us to be accountant for everything that the humans do. So if we observe that greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that accuracy of the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not feel that anything is trivial. Whether it's a sin, no sin is trivial. Whether it's a good deed, no good deed is trivial. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the meaning of the hadith, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. That protect yourself from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even through half of a date that you give in charity. That half of a date can be a shield from the fire with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another chapter of the story of a few of his great prophets and messengers ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, starting with Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And his story is quite repeated in the Quran, how he from a young age defied his family, defied his people when he saw them worshipping idols apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he couldn't find any sense in that. His fitra, his basic instinct showed him that it's impossible. These people are carving these stones and then worshipping them, attributing powers to these stones that they carve. It doesn't make any sense. So he started his journey looking for or searching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he shattered all of the idols that were in the temple. And when people came from their celebration and found their idols completely broken, they said, who could have done such a heinous act? And then they remembered there was also always that young man who used to criticize our idols. Bring him so that we can know exactly who did that. And when they asked Sayyidina Ibrahim, did you do that to our deities? He said, well, ask them, maybe they can tell you. And then they recognize that these idols do not respond, they cannot speak, they cannot fend for themselves. And then their arrogance and their ignorance, their insistence on the defiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they decided, we want to extinguish that voice of logic, that voice of reason, that voice of faith. So they said, قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. They said, burn him in the fire and support and give victory, get revenge for your lords if you're going to do that. And when they threw Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam in that fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the fire to change its properties. وَقُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ. O fire, be cool, be gentle, and be a peaceful place for Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about when Sayyidina Ibrahim got frustrated with his people, even after seeing that miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decided to leave that village, that oppressive village. So he left with his nephew, Sayyidina Lut, ala nabina wa alayhi salatu salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Sayyidina Ibrahim with his son, Ishaq. And then after Ishaq, Ya'qub, the son of Sayyidina Ishaq, ala nabina wa alayhi salatu salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story, very briefly, the story of Sayyidina Lut, the story of Sayyidina Nuh, the stories of Sayyidina Dawood and Sayyidina Sulaiman, and a chapter of that story, a brief chapter of that story, comes here in the surah about an event that happened when Sayyidina Dawood ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was the king, and Sayyidina Sulaiman was still a young man, a young boy probably, and two people came complaining to Sayyidina Dawood, the king and the judge, ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. One had fields of crops and plantation that were ready for cultivation, and the other one had some cattle and some animals, and the animals transgressed or trespassed over that field of crops, and they ate these crops before being collected. So the two came, or the man who owned that land with these crops, came complaining to Sayyidina Dawood. He wanted to get a fair treatment, a fair compensation for his loss. Sayyidina Dawood ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam initially said, well, the person with the cattle is the one who damaged the fields, so he owes the owner of the fields, he should surrender his cattle to the owner of the fields. Sayyidina Sulaiman ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting and listening and looking at the justice of that judgment and the wisdom of that judgment, and he found that there is something that's not balanced. If the man, first of all, the man who has the cattle, he did not force his cattle to go and eat the crops of the other man. They did that through, he was distracted, so it was a mistake, it was an accident. He should not be completely punished like that, because depriving him from this cattle, which is source of his of income, is two wrongs don't make a right. So what should be done? So Sayyidina Sulaiman asked his father, "Father, would you allow me to give another judgment?" And Sayyidina Dawood said, "Go ahead, son, speak." Sayyidina Sulaiman said, "Well, my judgment, which would be the fair judgment, is to swap property for the man who has the land to get the cattle of that man for 1 year. He can benefit from its milk, from its wool, from its meat. And at the same time, the man whose cattle ate the crops of the first one, he should cultivate that land to correct his mistake, and he should benefit from the crops that come out of this land for that year. So no one would be without a property, no one would be without a source of income." Sayyidina Dawood ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam listened to the wisdom of this young boy of his, Sayyidina Sulaiman ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that event as فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا Sulaiman. We inspired Sulaiman, we gave him the proper judgment in this convoluted issue, so he ended up judging with justice, with fairness, with equitability to both parties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes both father and son, وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. And to both we gave حُكْم, whether it is rule, as both of them were kings, and حِكْمَة, which is also wisdom, because both of them were wise, وَعِلْمًا, both of them received the knowledge and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about another one of his prophets, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us very beautiful dua in these ayat. Sayyidina Ayyub ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was wealthy, he had a family, he had wealth, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him in his health and in his wealth and in his family. Everything went away, and people stayed away from him because they did not want to get the disease that he had, and so on and so forth. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after several years, and some people say it was even 70 years, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرِّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He was not complaining about what has affected him, but he is reporting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, you are the most merciful. I have been afflicted by these afflictions, the disease, the loss of family, the loss of money, and so on." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to his beautiful supplication and responded to his supplication. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored everything that he had before and even more, an equivalent to what he had before. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍّ وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَ لِلْعَابِدِينَ. This is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a reminder that if anyone is in the situation of Sayyidina Ayyub ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, now we have the solution to report to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that beautiful dua, أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And then Sayyidina Ismail and Sayyidina Idris and Sayyidina Dhalkifl ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned briefly in this surah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got them into his mercy because they were obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Yunus, we talked before about Sayyidina Yunus ibn Matta ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who was living in Nainawa in Iraq, in a village of fishermen, and then he invited them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they rejected him, and he said, "Let me go to another village and preach to them because these people are not going to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He left without the authorization from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us part of his story here. وَذَنُّونِي إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then Noon, which is Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Noon, by the way, is another word for the big fish or the whale. So then Noon, the one with the fish, he's attached to that fish that swallowed him, as we know. إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا, he left his village angry with them. He did not want to talk to them anymore because they rejected the faith that he came with. فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, he thought that we're not gonna confine his motion, his movement. He thought that we're not gonna limit him from going to another place. نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, in this case, نَقْدِر, the word يَقْدِر comes in different meanings, but here in this case it comes with the meaning of containing or confining or limiting his movement. He thought that he had the authorization from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move while he did not. So he did not feel or think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to stop him from going to that other place. And we know what happened to him when he boarded the ship and that there was that storm. And the people on the ship said, "There's someone who did a bad deed on this ship. Let's write the names of different people on this ship on pieces of paper and then draw one and see who would that be." They drew the first time, it was Sayyidina Yunus. They said, "No way, this is a very kind and gentle person." They did it the second time, Sayyidina Yunus. So they said, "Let's try the third time." Again, his name came up, so it's got to be him. They threw him in the sea and he was swallowed by that big fish. And in the darkness of the sea, in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of the depth of that sea, and inside the belly of that whale, he regretted what he did. So he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that most beautiful supplication. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. O Allah, there's no Lord but you. Subhanak, glory be to you. إني كنت من الظالمين. I have caused an injustice to myself by not waiting until I get the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on what to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited these ayat to his companions, one of them asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since Sayyidina Yunus, when he said this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from that distress, is that uniquely for Sayyidina Yunus? Is that only for Sayyidina Yunus? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Anyone who would be in deep distress and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that beautiful dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their supplication and would remove that distress from them. So this is good news for us. If any one of us is in a deep sadness or in a deep problem or distress, here is the solution. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. And then Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, we talked about him a couple of days ago when we were talking about Surah Maryam, when he grew old and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a son to be his successor to take care of the temple. وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Oh Allah, leave me alone. You are the best heir, but I want a heir, an heir of mine, to a human heir, a son, to take care of the temple after I die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his supplication in a very beautiful way. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَا وَأَصْلِحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجًا. Again, how can his wife bear a child without the ailment or the cause that prevented her from bearing a child previously being corrected? But again, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the means and the reasons have no effect except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We responded to his supplication, gave him Yahya, promised him Yahya, and we corrected what was wrong with his wife, what prevented his wife from bearing children before. That's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then briefly, as Sayyida Maryam alayha salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares her innocence and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent her that gift, the gift for the whole humanity, Sayyidina Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. After telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about all of these prophets and messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a general statement. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. This is your nation, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O believers with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is your family, this is your nation. It is one nation, the family of believers, the nation of believers is one nation, regardless of the time, regardless of the geographic location, they are all connected through that common thread, which is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the rope of faith. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. And I am your Lord, so worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the non-believers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an ayah that was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this surah. إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمَ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ. إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمْ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ. You, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the non-believers. You and the deities that you are worshipping apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to be the fodder, the fuel for the hellfire, and you're going to be residing into it. So now when the non-believers heard this ayah, again they were trying to find any inconsistency or any mistake in the Quran. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, look, some of us worship the angels. Some of the Christians worship Sayyidina Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of the Jews claim that Sayyidina Uzair ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they worship him. So are these gonna be in the hellfire? Are the angels gonna be in the hellfire because they are worshipped? Is Sayyidina Isa and Sayyidina Uzair going to be in the hellfire because they are worshipped? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا وَهُمْ فِي مَا اشْتَهَتْ أَنفُسُهُمْ خَالِدُونَ لَا يَحْزُنُهُمُ الْفَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرُ وَتَتَلَقَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ هَذَا يَوْمُكُمُ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. The ones who have received the glad tidings initially from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are the angels who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any rest, without any boredom, without any disobedience, and they do as they are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it were for Sayyidina Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, that great prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it were for Sayyidina Uzair ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, that prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not their mistake that people, due to ignorance, due to any other reason, deception from the shaitan, they worship them. They never ask them to to be worshipped, because they know only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one worthy of being worshipped. So they have received safety, security, and the glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not subject to this ayah. But anything else, whether it's the idols that you're worshipping, whether it's individuals that you're worshipping, whether anything else, all of these are going to be the fodder for the hellfire if they are worshipped apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us on the Day of Judgment, or in preparation for the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. When the heavens are going to be folded as you fold an open book, when you close an open book and you fold it, so the heavens, the skies are going to be folded like that, and the creation is going to be revived as it was created the first time. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will do subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the end of the surah gives a very beautiful description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You were not sent except to be mercy for all the creation. And He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mercy for all the creation. During his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was mercy for all the creation. After he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left us his legacy. He is mercy for all the creation. On the Day of Judgment, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for the believers. So his mercy for all the creation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thus deserving of his intercession on the Day of Judgment. In Surah Al-Hajj is a Surah Madaniyah. Now we are moving from the Quran of Makkah al-Mukarramah to the Quran revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. And the Surah starts in a very alarming way. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَدْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only addressing the believers as يا أيها الذين آمنوا, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of mankind. And it's a warning. It's a warning for the believers and a warning for the non-believers. Fear the Day of Judgment. Prepare for the Day of Judgment. Be mindful of the Day of Judgment. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prepare for your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim. The tremors and the earth shaking and the earthquakes that are going to precede the Day of Judgment, this is a great event. It's a horrific event. Yawma tarawnaha, when you witness that, tadhalu kullu murdi'atin 'amma ardat. In the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned before, when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking through a camp of prisoners of war in the aftermath of the battle of Bani al-Mustaliq, and he saw a woman running like crazy looking for something until she found her child, and she took that child to her chest, and now she felt comfort. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that on the Day of Judgment, such a woman would be completely distracted from her child. She would not even pay attention to the child. She will not look for that child. What exactly is that horror that would prevent such a bond between a mother and a child? It is the horror of the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَدْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Not only a woman and a child, but every woman who has nursed a son or a daughter, she would be distracted from that son or daughter. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. And if someone was resurrected or died while she was pregnant, and she was resurrected on the Day of Judgment in that state of pregnancy, she would abort, because again, the horror and the terror of that day is going to completely destroy any life inside her. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. And when you look at people, they're walking like drunk, out of being disoriented, out of that horror from the scenes that they're going to see, and they're not drunk. But the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so severe, it's going to take away their minds, so they're going to wander around without knowing exactly where they're going or what they're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again reminds those people, those same people who have been warned, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِّن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِّن عَلَقَةٍ ثُمَّ مِّن مُضْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءُ إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ ثُمَّ لِتَكُونُوا شُيُوخًا ثم نخرجكم طفلا ثم لتبلغوا أشدكم ومنكم من يتوفى ومنكم من يرد إلى أرض للعمر لكي لا يعلم من بعد علم شيئا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us through the journey of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you are in doubt of the resurrection, of the revival, of being revived after death, remember that you were created out of dust. And then from a nutfa, sperm, and then alaqa, that clot that attaches itself to the womb, to the walls of the womb. ثُمَّ مِن مُضْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. And then it became when the fetus starts forming, it's like a chewed piece of meat. لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. So you know about these stages of the creation, you see these different stages of the creation. This is just a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you to understand that He subhanahu wa ta'ala can revive you. And then once this piece of chewed meat basically receives the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel to blow the spirit inside that to be human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala settles that fetus in his mother's womb. وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءُ ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا. And then you are born as a child, a helpless child who depends on someone else, who cannot do anything for itself. ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ. And then you grow to your full strength, and you feel invincible, you feel independent, and you do not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the independent one, and you are all dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى. And some of you would die in one of these different stages. Either they are aborted before they are born, or they are born dead, or they die in their infancy, or they die in their youth, or they complete their term of their life and eventually come to death from old age. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَ لِلْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. So some of you who are going to live long enough to the extreme of their old age, they're going to go back to a stage where they are dependent on others, and they wouldn't remember anything they've learned in their lives, and they go back to becoming like a baby who cannot control its actions. Another sign, if you do not pay attention to your own selves and your own families and the people around you, look at the earth that you pass by in different seasons. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ وَأَنْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ. You look at the earth and you feel that it's a dead earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send the rain from the sky, and as soon as the rain falls on this earth, it starts shivering and moving and cracking, and from these cracks it grows, and then you see the green twigs and the green grass and the different plants coming out of that land. So again, that's a sign of revival, and you see that every year, or sometimes even twice a year, depending on the plants that you or the crops that you are planting. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق. These signs all point into one direction, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. وَأَنَّهُ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And He is the one who revives the dead, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything that He wills subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah again comes the beautiful ayah about the different creation, how all of the creation is in harmony except for a few. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Haven't you seen that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prostrate and worship everything that's in the heavens and the earth? وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ. And the sun and the moon and the stars. وَالْجِبَالُ وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُ. And the mountains and the trees and the beasts and the animals. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Now, all of these different species, they were mentioned in their entirety. All the stars, all the trees, all the birds, all the animals, all the mountains worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when it came to the accountable species, the humans and the jinn, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. A lot of people. People here, by the way, includes ins and jinn, by the way. So the jinn are also different populations, different tribes, like the humans are different populations and tribes. So the word annas mentions both al-ins wal-jinn. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Many of these nas, the ins and the jinn, are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابِ. And a lot of them, in fact, the majority of them, will be deserving the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something that's really horrifying on the Day of Judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, أخرجوا بعث النار أو أخرجوا بعث جهنم. Extract from all of these, of all of this creation that's standing in that flat place, extract the people who are destined for the hellfire, the people who will go to the hellfire. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are two narrations for that hadith. One that says that out of every 100, they will extract 99. And in another narration, out of every 1,000, they will extract 999. Therefore, the true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that go to paradise without punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among them. Their percentage is either 1% or 1 per 1,000. So that's how the majority of the creation of the, not of the creation, but of the humans and the jinn will be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserving to be punished in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of that again, of two individuals at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One a believer and one a non-believer. هَذَانِ خَصْمَانِ اخْتَصَمُوا فِي رَبِّهِمْ. These are two people who disputed about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one being a believer and one being a non-believer. فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قُطِّعَتْ لَهُمْ ثِيَابٌ مِّنْ نَارٍ. The non-believers are going to have tailor-made garments and clothes for the Day of Judgment out of fire. They fit them perfectly. يُصَبُّ مِنْ فَوْقِ رُؤُسِهِمُ الْحَمِيمُ. They're going to have a shower, but that shower is going to be molten metals, molten lead or molten copper or molten matters. Imagine the heat that can melt a metal. How would that be, and what would be the feeling of that molten metal? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. يُصْهَرُ بِهِ مَا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ وَالْجُلُودِ. When that shower falls on their bodies, they dissolve both of their internal organs and their skin. وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. And they have confines or shackles out of iron. كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. Each time they try to liberate themselves or escape from these shackles, they are returned into them. وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, taste the punishment of burning in the hellfire. So that's about the one who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about the believer? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْخِلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ولؤلؤا وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ. Look at the contrast. The believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them to paradise, to gardens where with rivers running through them and underneath them. And they're gonna also wear custom-made clothes and bracelets out of gold and pearls, and these garments, these fitting garments, are gonna be made out of silk, the smoothest, the nicest, the wealthiest kinds of silk. وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. And that's the most important part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them to say the best things, appreciating the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has bestowed upon them. They would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada, wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. They would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi sadaqana wa'da, wa awrathana al-arda natabawa min al-jannati haythu nasha. They would say, grace and praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fulfilled His promise for us, and we would not, who guided us, and we would not have been guided were it not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us. So they would appreciate the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attribute that bounty to the source of that bounty, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us part of the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. Since this surah is Surah Al-Hajj, named for the pilgrimage, therefore the pilgrimage started with Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam raising the walls on the foundations that probably existed from the time of Sayyidina Adam ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Ibrahim in the ayat that come in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ. So they are raising the walls on top of these foundations, and Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam is commanded to build that house and to dedicate that house to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any partners or any associates. When Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam followed the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and built that house with his son Sayyidina Ismail, now Sayyidina Ibrahim is asking, oh Allah, what next? We have built that sanctuary, we have built that house, what next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Ibrahim, now call for people to come to that house for worship. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Call for people to come for pilgrimage. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi nabina alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh Allah, I'm an individual. How far is my voice going to reach? Who is going to hear my voice? We are in the middle of the desert. It's a house in the middle of the desert. I'm going to shout and I'm going to call as loud as I can, but who is going to hear my voice? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again reminded Sayyidina Ibrahim, you are not responsible for the result. You are only responsible for the effort. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. When you make that call, people are going to respond. Coming on foot, walking. رِجَالًا here means not mounting an animal, not riding an animal, but walking on foot. وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. And riding different rides that are going to be so thin and so weak because of the far distance these rides have come from. They're going to come from every far place that you don't even know of. And subhanallah, when we look today at the number of people who are going to Hajj every year, it's a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is still the response of the resounding, reverberating sound of that initial call of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the hearts attached to that house. So whoever has gone there has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go there at least once, whether it's Hajj or Umrah. They would always feel a longing to go back. No one would go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once without longing to go back another time and a third time as much as they can. So this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he said to Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Ibrahim, when he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the hearts of people longing for that house, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this supplication. For those of us who have not been blessed with that magnificent trip of Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with the Hajj of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and visiting the mosque of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about some of the details of the rituals of Hajj, that these rituals have to be respected, have to be followed as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, without playing any games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without trying to cut corners or to try to find shortcuts. There are no shortcuts when it comes to the rituals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that respecting and glorifying these rituals is a sign of piety. ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. Including the slaughtering of the hadi at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feeding the poor and the needy at that place and elsewhere. Alhamdulillah, now with the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are these refrigerators and there is the opportunity of not only feeding the people who are at the Hajj, but exporting that meat to the poor and the needy worldwide. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, again, it's not the meat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares for, but the act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. The meat and the blood of these animals, of these sacrifices, is not going to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but what reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. What reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the piety. Why did we slaughter these animals? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a sacrifice, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, responding to a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, there's an ayah that was revealed. So most of the surah was revealed in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. There's an ayah that has the hukm of Qur'an Madani, although it was revealed on the way between Makkah Al-Mukarramah and Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And this ayah is the first authorization for the believers to fight back the non-believers. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. The believers who have been oppressed and now authorized, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that they have been oppressed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them the permission to fight back. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all capable to give them justice and to give them victory. Who are these? الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those who have been expelled from their land for no reason except for saying رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, for saying that our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعٌ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. That were it not for that pushing and pushing back between truth and falsehood, the truth pushing back the falsehood, repelling that falsehood, were it not for that, all the houses of worship would have been destroyed and demolished, and there would be no mention of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pledges, وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support and give victory to whoever is striving to give victory for the faith of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are these? What is the behavior of those who are fighting falsehood? الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. These are not tyrants. These are not arrogant people. These are not people who are bloodthirsty, who want to just fight for the sake of fighting. These are people who do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, push back any falsehood or any rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they are given power, what do? They do not say, look at us, we are strong, we are powerful, we are victorious. But they are humble. They lower their heads. to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ إِمَّا كَنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Whenever we give them power on this earth, what do they do? أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ They establish the prayer. وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاءِ And they give their zakah, their charity. وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And they enjoin good and they forbid evil, which is basically the only reason for life to continue on the face of this earth, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we're going to talk later in Surah Ad-Dariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ The sole reason for the creation of the jinn and the ins, the humans and the jinn, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the earth does not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has exhausted the reason for its existence and life has to end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in the process of this pushing and pushing between the truth of falsehood and falsehood, there's going to be martyrs. There are going to be people who would fall who would lose their lives in defense of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endorsed for mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ قُتِلُوا أَوْ مَاتُوا لَيَرْزُقَنَّهُمُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ لَيُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ مُدْخَلًا يَرْضَوْنَهُ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ That those who migrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have been, remember these again, ayat are revealed to the believers, migrating from Mecca to Medina for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give support to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara and to establish the state of Islam in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who migrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then they die or they are killed in the confrontation with disbelief, or they die of natural causes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very beautiful ayah, لَيَرْزُقَنَّهُمُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain them with the best of sustenance. How can someone who's dead be sustained? Someone might think. If they die, we think of sustenance as money or food or shelter or earthly goods. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the sublime meaning of rizq, which is the eternal rizq in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ مُدْخَلًا يَرْضَوْنَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them enter a place that they will be pleased with and satisfied with, and that's the paradise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best sustainer, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it's very hard to stop at every ayah from these beautiful surah, because it would take a lot of time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the end of the surah gives an example which is a miracle by itself. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ O creation, O ins and jinn, and nas in this case, as we mentioned, al-ins wal-jinn. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ Here's an example, here's a simile, here's a parable. Listen to it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا دُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ Those who you are worshipping apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be able to create a fly. A fly. Even if they collaborate, all of them together, they bring all of their knowledge, all of their technology, everything, they won't be able to create a fly. This tiny fly that you just push with you with a motion of your hand. Not only that, this tiny fly, if it takes something away from them, they're not going to be able to get it back from it. وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الدُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْهُ It's subhanAllah, it's a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example of something so tiny and so neglected, a fly. ضعف الطالب والمطلوب That the person who's seeking to get something back from a fly is so helpless, and that fly itself is also so helpless. ما قدر الله حق قدره إن الله لقوي عزيز They do not appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he should be appreciated and estimated subhanahu wa ta'ala inna allaha laqawiyyun aziz the second time we see this conclusion of the ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala And then at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what we should do as believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِرْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Oh, you who believe, now the address is not to an-nas, all the creation, but to the believers, the chosen ones, the ones who have chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِرْكَعُوا, bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wasjudu, and prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa'budu rabbakum, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, wa'f'alu al-khayra la'allakum tuftihun. And the translation of this obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the external reflection is doing good that not only benefits you but benefits other believers and other creation as well, not only the believers, it benefits everyone. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ, and struggle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proper way. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ, He subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any burden upon you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting you to support that faith, the faith of Sayyidina Ibrahim, who initially called you Muslimin, called you the ones who surrender and submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي هَذَا, in that struggle, لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, being Muslims, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a witness on us, and we will be witnesses over mankind. On the Day of Judgment, each prophet would come with his followers, sometimes a large group, sometimes a small group, sometimes a couple of men, sometimes no one whatsoever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask each prophet and messenger, did you deliver your message? And they would say, oh Allah, we did deliver the message. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask their people to whom they were sent, the one that rejected them, did that prophet deliver the message? And they would say, no, oh Allah, he did not deliver the message. So each prophet would look for a witness, and they would say, I have a witness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask them, and who is that witness? And they would say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ayah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Remember that day when we're going to come, we're going to bring a witness from every nation to testify for them or against them, and then we will bring you as the supreme witness to witness on all of these prophets and messengers and about and over their nations. And your nation also, which followed you, it means that they believed in you and they believed in all the prophets before you, so they would testify that Sayyidina Ibrahim delivered the message, Sayyidina Musa delivered the message, Sayyidina Lut delivered the message, Sayyidina Ayyub, Sayyidina Ismail, Sayyidina Ishaq, all the prophets ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam delivered the message, and they would confirm that, so we are going to be witnesses as well. So to be trustworthy witnesses, to be worthy of being witnesses, what we should do, فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. So in order to be worthy of that testimony, to testify over other nations, what should you do? Establish the prayer and pay your zakah and hold tight to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord, and He is the best Lord, and He is the best supporter and one who gives victory, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since we talked in two consecutive ayat now, or two ayat, about zakah, I'm reminding myself and my brothers and sisters about the importance of zakah. And as the deeds are multiplied in the month of Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan we have two kinds of zakah. Basically, we have zakatul mal, which can be paid annually. It has to be paid annually, and many people select to pay it in Ramadan since the deeds are multiplied in the month of Ramadan, and that's perfectly fine. And then there's zakatul fitr, which is an obligation on every Muslim. rich or poor, male or female, young or old. So I'm reminding myself and my brothers and sisters to prepare for that, to pay the dues to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something that's voluntary. This is not an option. This is one of the pillars of Islam. So I'm reminding myself and my brothers and sisters, prepare for paying your zakah. If you pay your zakatul mal, the zakah of your wealth, in the month of Ramadan, then now we can see that the month of Ramadan is passing very quickly. Make sure that you pay it before the end of the month. And zakatul fitr, it has to be paid before Salatul Eid. If you wait after Salatul Eid, it is not zakatul fitr anymore. It's just a regular charity. But according to some of the narrations of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that fasting is going to be suspended and not completely raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until a person pays zakatul fitr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us establish the prayer and pay our zakah and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proper way that we should worship Him. Inshallah, tomorrow we're going to continue with our journey with the Quran. We're going to discuss Surah Al-Mu'minun and Surah An-Nur and maybe the beginning of Surah Al-Furqan if time allows. So until tomorrow, inshallah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.